is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, start the season off strong this October with scary good deals of up to $4,000 off the top training solutions from our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Prepare your team for success this preseason with spooky savings of up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish Basketball's shooting machines designed for schools and programs. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hello, this is Brad Stamps, head boys basketball coach at Fayetteville High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey, coaches, check out our newest sponsor, SportsLab 360. An online platform made up of interactive modules that focus on different tactical concepts, from the basics of reading a screen to specific offenses such as the dribble drive. Especially for our high school coaches out there with such limited practice time with your players, assigning the SportsLab 360 modules to them before practice can save you tons of time from having to stand there and explain these concepts. And you can move more quickly on to the next layer while your competition is still stuck on the fundamentals. As a coach, you can also put customized notes into the players' interactive modules, and you can track how they're scoring on the modules, making it a valuable tool to help identify areas that need development. These guys have had major success in soccer and just recently launched in basketball, and I'd urge all of our listeners to go check them out. Through October and November, you can use the code all lowercase, HOOPHEADS, to save 15% off any SportsLab 360 plan. Head over to www.sportslab360basketball.com to check them out. Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, FastModel is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. After fighting through some technical difficulties, we are here tonight to conduct our wins and losses draft.
Would you say are we having more technical difficulties, or is Bradley Beal having more technical difficulties, hey, Mike?
Welcome to your Phoenix Suns 2023-2024 season, baby.
Yeah. Well, my unders or my overs not looking good.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident that the Phoenix Suns are an under. I feel pretty confident. What's the score of the game? Yep. Do you have it up right now? What's the score?
No, I don't. I don't currently have TNT, Mike. So this is going to be complicated. No. The Suns are up 15, 61 to 46.
All right, so see, you're over. You should feel confident, baby. They're doing it without Beal.
Yeah, and they're doing it against the Warriors, I guess. Booker has 21. He had 15 in the first 8 minutes of the game, I think.
Two teams, Nurkic, I can't wait to root against.
Nurkic, 10 points and 12 rebounds
Nurkic
in the first half.
Nurkic looked good. I watched probably the first quarter and a half. Nurkic looked good, I thought.
He looks kind of spry.
He does. He looked like he was in shape.
And
by the way, he's huge. I guess I didn't realize he was standing next to Durant at one point, and he looked like he was like 3 inches taller than Durant. So if Durant is like a legitimate 7-footer, Nurkic was like 7'3". I mean, Nurkic was seriously three inches taller than Durant.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was trying to pull it up, but the NBA app's not cooperating with me. I was trying to see some basic info about Yusuf Nurkic. Nope, not working. Anyways, all right. So
It
says Nurkic is 7 foot.
Okay. I mean, I bet he's taller than that. I mean, if Durant is a legit 7 foot, then Nurkic was easily, like I said, 2-3 inches taller than him. So
he's been in the league for 9 years. He's not played more than what 60 some games, I think, in his career.
Probably not.
Yeah, I heard that on the mismatch. They were complaining. They were laughing about Nurkic.
All right, well,
being a productive player.
Good start for our Denver Nuggets tonight.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. You know, another ho-hum performance by Jokic with a triple-double to start the season. I had basketball tryouts tonight, and we were like in a transition thing, and I like just looked at the stat line, and it was the first quarter that he had like 10, 7, and 2.
Right.
And I think
I noticed 10, he had 2 assists. Yeah, he had 2 assists. I'm like, he better get going. And then he ended up with 11, obviously. So, guys, incredible.
I told the kids at tryouts, it's like, oh, Jokic is having just like a whole hum first quarter, 10, 7, and 2. And they're like, he's getting a triple-double tonight. It would have been
He's already number 6 in history. He has 106, I think he's one behind LeBron, and the high is 198, and he has 106.
Is he going to get there, Mike? He's going to, right?
Oh, yeah.
As long as he stays healthy?
I mean, you figure he's going to get 40 this year, probably, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he gets
there. You would
think. They spanked the Lakers tonight. I mean, they totally dominated that game. The Lakers kind of pulled it a little bit tighter in the third quarter, but it never felt like Denver was in any kind of danger. Their best four guys are better than any four-guy grouping in the entire league. And Jokic just makes everything hum and sing, and just the way that team plays together because of sort of the tone that he sets. I mean, it's hard to imagine that if they stay healthy, it's hard to imagine that they're not going to win games and they're not going to win the title.
Yep.
They're just that good. So, all right. So what we're going to do tonight, I forget who we stole this from last year. Do you remember doing this or no?
No. Okay. Do we even know who won last year, Mike?
I have no idea. I didn't listen to it. I have no idea who won or who lost. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea who won, who lost. So this year we're going to try to continue our trend of keeping track of things and writing
down. Hoophead historians. Hoophead historians, go back and listen to our episode last year. And let us know in the comments who won.
Tweet at us who won, because I don't think we added them up. But this year we are going to keep track, and I think we should put a bet on it. I know that we never see each other actually in person, that you'll stand in my driveway for 5 minutes and talk to me one day with all your kids in the car. Instead, you have to talk to me for 7 minutes. Let's bet a pizza
on it. Whatever you want.
Let's bet a pizza meal on it. I'll buy a pizza meal for your family.
I'm going to set it. Here's the pizza. A pizza meal for your family, and I have to buy pepperoni, so your kids have to eat the pepperoni.
Right, there you
what
go.
Do you think, Mike?
Well, it's not going to go well. I'll have to eat that whole thing by myself, so I don't think you have to worry about
that. I'm joking. We wouldn't do that. All right.
So a pizza meal, a family pizza meal.
My dad and I have a pizza bet every year for golfing, and over the years, it's like closest to pit. Well, no, closest to the pin on par threes. And this started like 10 years ago. And like, we used to play like 30 rounds of golf together, or like, you know, we'd play like enough that we would have a lot. Like now we're like playing like 4 rounds of golf together in the year. And it's like, if whoever wins a skin or gets up 2 skins, it's basically over. And it's like April.
There's a lot of pressure on every hole, huh?
Yeah. It says the knee knockers, those knee knocker putts. I'm telling you.
Understood.
You got to par the hole. You can't be that. You can't 3 putt it.
So, yep, yeah, I understand. I understand.
Not enough of the,
I understand. Okay.
All right. So we're going to do is we're going to pick a team. We're going to pick a team, and we're going to tell you whether we're going to take their wins or their losses. And whoever has the highest total at the end of the year is going to win a pizza for their family. There you go.
I like it.
What establishment are we going to, do we want to go like, what's an establishment? We got to set the bar here. Like, we're not going to just get like some Marcos, no offense to Marcos, but we're not going to get Marcos. So what kind of pizza do you want?
Where do you want to go?
Do you guys eat Slice Above, or do you not like Slice Above?
Yeah, we go like Cal, like Slice Above. Slice Above is a good one. Jets, you guys go Jets? You go Jets ever?
Yeah. I mean, we like to switch it up. We had Master Pizza tonight because they're
Master Pizza's good. That's a good choice too. Good choice too.
Do you want to do Master Pizza? Do you want to do what? Slice Above? Okay.
Slice Above it is. All right. Slice Above.
All right. Sounds good.
Pizza dinner for the family on the line. Slice Above.
You can't have, you can't have their honey pizza, Mike, but it's thebomb.com. Or you can have it, but your kids can't.
Honey pizza. What's that all about?
It's got honey, ham, and bacon on it. It's fantastic.
I'm not a big ham or bacon guy. Even though I eat meat, I'm not a ham or bacon guy. Really, I'll eat them, but okay. I wouldn't want them on my pizza.
What do you eat at Thanksgiving? You have tofu?
Turkey, man. Turkey. I go to my in-laws, so there's always turkey. So I'm good. I'm good on Thanksgiving. We don't cook here. They'll eat. Okay. Usually, I feel like we have pierogies too. Pizza or turkey and pierogies. So.
Okay. Sorry for all this vegetarian talk out there.
I like it, man.
Podcast.
All right. Okay. You got the number one pick. That's what we determined off air.
I'm taking the Celtics. You're gonna take the first. I'm taking the Celtics in the win. I've changed my mind. I think did I take the under on them, Mike? I may have taken the under on them. I'm reversing course.
I can tell you. Let me find that paper. All right. So I can tell you. You took the over 55.5.
Okay.
You took the over.
I'm taking the Celtics in the. Here's what I feel good. I feel like they're going to, as a whole, they're relatively healthy. They're not going to shut people down a lot. They're playing in the Eastern Conference, and I'm going to stay away from Western Conference teams for a little bit here. Probably, I'm not trying to give away my draft strategy.
Okay,
but I just the Western Conference, I feel like it's going to be a slog after like the top two teams, and then it's going to be like who's who. So my draft strategy may be stay away from the Western Conference for a little bit.
Okay.
Depending on what happens on your first pick. But I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with on their first pick.
All right. So you have the Celtics over. I guess the one thing I would worry about with the Celtics over, obviously Brown and Tatum are going to probably stay healthy as they have. And
you mean
so
the Celtics
they're going to be on the floor.
We're not doing over
Celtics
under.
Wins. What did I say? Oh, sorry. Celtics win. Celtics win. Celtics win. Celtics over, whatever. The only thing I worry about with the Celtics as far as being a regular season team is the Porzingis-Horford combination. And whether or not those two guys can stay healthy. Horford's been relatively healthy, but again, he's a year older. And Porzingis, who knows what you're getting with him? I mean, obviously last year with the Wizards, he was healthy, but his history says he may not end up being healthy. So Celtics wins for Jason. All right, my pick. I am going Wizards losses.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So I'm going Wizards losses.
I didn't think you were going there.
I think the Wizards are going to be abjectly horrible. I think that Jordan Poole's going to take like 30 shots a game. I think everybody on his team is going to be disgusted with him after a certain amount of time. And that team is committed to a rebuild. So I think they're going to be tanking hard. I'm looking at them losing 60 plus games easily. And I'm not sure anybody wins 60 plus games. So Wizards losses for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the team. I said I would stay away from the Western Conference. Abandoning ship on that one. I'm going to take the Nuggets wins, Mike. I'm going to take the Nuggets wins.
Right. I got you down. Nuggets wins. I think that's probably a fairly safe bet. I'm guessing that their four guys we talked about off the top.
At worst, what are they going to win? At worst, what are they going to get? 55 wins? Like at worst?
Yeah, at worst they're in the low 50s. At worst they're in the low 50s. I mean, depending on how much they rest guys and what their desire is to – really compete at a high level in the regular season, how much they want that one seed. They're certainly going to win 50 plus. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
All right. Your next pick, Mike.
My next pick is going to be the Milwaukee Bucks wins. I'm going to take Bucks wins.
All right.
I feel like those are the most certain four. I think those are the top four. I think those are the top four choices.
I'm going for the team that I'm predicting to win the NBA in-season tournament. The Cleveland Cavaliers wins.
Wow. Cavs, the fifth choice. That is quite interesting.
Honestly, I'm Mike, I feel really good about the Cavs all of a sudden, and I don't know why. I think they're going to win the in-season tournament because they're going to go for it. I think they're going to go for it because they want to try to absolve their sins from the playoffs, and not that I think this will completely absolve the sins, but then when you look at their competition, we got the team that doesn't even have James Harden because he's somewhere, who knows where. he's handling some personal business.
Okay,
according to Joel Embiid.
Can I say this one more time? Why, like, why do you want the guy? If you're the Clippers, like, at this point, I wouldn't take James Harden on the Cavs if Philly was throwing stuff in to that trade. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you want the guy?
I don't know. All right. There you go. So I think they're going to win the in-season tournament, Mike. And all right. I'm gonna lobby that if they do win the in-season tournament and they played an extra game, I want that extra win. Even though the NBA is not counting it, I want that extra win because I think it's dumb that those stats aren't going to count. But in a tournament championship game, they're not going to count those stats. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Anyways,
That is dumb.
Conversation for another day.
Okay. Hornets losses.
Whoa, that was my next one, Mike. That was my next one.
I feel pretty good about the Hornets losses. I think that this team, Miles Bridges, they can't let him play. I guess he's still practicing with them despite the fact that he was throwing billiard balls at his girlfriend's car while he's on probation and hasn't been in the league for a year. To me, it seems ridiculous that he's even around the team. I can't imagine that he plays a minute for them this year. And with that being said, now you're back to LaMelo and Scary Terry, the ghost of Gordon Hayward. I have no idea. So give me the Hornets losses. I think this team's going to be pretty bad. I think they're going to easily win or lose mid-50s easily.
All right. All right. I think I'm going to go with Portland losses. I'm going to go with Portland losses.
First losses.
Yeah, Portland losses.
I think that makes sense. That to me is a good pick. That was right there in my next pick or two. I know I picked Portland over, and their over was 28.5. But even if they go 28.5 and they win 29 games, you're still looking at that's easily 50 plus losses. So
I'm pretty sure I went under on that, didn't I, Mike? Did I go under?
You did go under. So if that's an under, then that is a no-brainer. That's a bargain. If they go under 28.5, that is a bargain for you at this point. So Portland losses is a good choice. I think this team could go either way. Like, they have enough competent players that if they played this season to try to win games.
Do they have a competent coach?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet whether Chauncey Billups is a good coach or is not a good coach. But I do know that this team has competent players that if they really were trying to win, I think they could win games. I think they could win 35, 36 games if they really competed and put their best players out on the floor. I'm not sure that that's what they're going to do. I'm not sure they're not going to trade some of the guys that they still have in their stable. And what I would guess is that they're just going to give the ball to Scoot. And if you're giving the ball to a 19-year-old rookie point guard and just saying, go do some stuff, I think that's a pretty good indication that things aren't going to go well. So I think Portland losses is, I think to me, that's the best bargain in the draft right there at the spot you picked them, because I was going to grab that up next. All right. I am going to go with man, this is a tough one. I'm going to take Detroit losses.
Ooh, spicy. I like it.
Now, Detroit,
yeah, I could see it.
I feel oddly confident that they're going to maybe be better than what I thought. And their over-under was 28.5. I think they might win more than that, but I could easily see them winning 30, 31, 32, which still puts them at 50-some losses, which I'm not sure. You look at last year's standings, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that won 50 games. So yeah. I think Detroit losses is a pretty good bet. All right, go for it. You're next.
All right. Well, I'm going to ride it. I don't like it. Especially now that Golden State's only down by 2. I'm going to take Phoenix wins, Mike. And here's I will tell you that I'm between them and another team. And I just feel more confident that they're going to have two of their three playing most of the time. Whereas the other team, who you probably can gather was the other team I was between, I don't have confidence because one is the oldest player in the NBA and the other is made of glass and had to be wheelchaired off for
I don't even remember what it was last year. Like, so I can't pick that team in this spot. I got to go with Phoenix.
All right, so I'm going to take Warriors wins.
Whoa. Oh, we could see competition right out the gate right here tonight, Mike. I already have the Denver. The Denver win. That was a good one. All right, anyways. Yep.
You got one. You got one in the books.
And we'll see who gets the other one. Will either be tied or I'll have a 2-0 lead after day one.
That's right.
We'll have to like do a status check, like.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, that'll
periodically.
Be good. Yeah, periodically. That'll be fun. Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, we got to make sure we do that.
Maybe monthly. Right, maybe up. Monthly. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going to go because I don't think this team – man, this is a tough – this now we're starting to really like
tough. Get yeah, into this. Now it gets tough. It's starting it to get tough.
Situation. Like,
it gets tough.
Like, do I believe in these teams? I'm going to go ahead and – the team I feel most confident about, at least, like, of the teams left. So I'm looking at this. Teams that I feel like I know are going to win more games than lose, because I'm going to go with the wins right now. Confident. Okay. I'm going to take the emo Miami Heat and the wins.
Okay.
I don't know if I feel great about that.
Heat wins. I wouldn't feel great about it, but I understand. I understand it. I understand it. Okay, I'm going Rockets losses.
Oh, that was the other one I was between, but I just couldn't. Here's why, Mike. Let me say why I couldn't do it. They spent all this money. They spent all this money this offseason. Like, they're going to be trying to win.
I agree. Like, they're going to be trying to win, but let me throw this at you, right? So they won 22 games last year. Let's say they win 38. That's a 16-game improvement, which that's a huge improvement, right?
Yeah.
With that, they're still going to have 44 losses. And when you start looking at the middle of the Western Conference, you have to ask yourself, are there going to be that many teams that are going to win more than 44 games? I mean, there are probably going to be some, but I think a lot of these teams are going to finish with 47, 46, 45, 44, 43. I think there's going to be a ton of teams right there in that range. And I think that you look at the bottom of that Western Conference, and I think there's still some value there, so I'm going to grab the Rockets.
All right. Well, I'm probably going to regret this pick, Mike.
All right.
I'm going to take the losses for the San Antonio Spurs. And here's why. Listen. If Wemby somehow plays 70 games, I'm going to be screwed, okay? Just putting it up.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I'm going to be in big trouble. He's the rookie of the year, provided he plays enough games. And I think rookies have to play, is it 55? They have a lower bar eventually.
No, the rookies, I think the rookies don't have any limit. Or maybe it's 50. Okay. I think there's no limit, though.
See, I thought they said on the, when I was listening to the mismatch the other day, that the rookie of the year is the only one that has a lower bar. But maybe I misheard them speaking about that. So, and we don't have to do that research, but it's fine. But I'm going with the losses to Spurs, because I just don't think that if he wasn't out there, they would be one of the worst teams in basketball, probably. Like, when you look at his supporting cast, like, if you took him off, they would be rivaling the Washington Wizards, honestly. Right? Agree or disagree? Like, they'd be rivaling. I think, I'm not saying they.
Yes, yes. I think they have the highest or the biggest variance besides one other team. I think there's the biggest variance in San Antonio, where if Wemby is healthy or not healthy, and if Wemby plays a lot of minutes versus not a lot of minutes, and if he plays a lot of games versus not a lot of games, I think there's potentially a big gap in what they could be versus what they are, depending upon Wemby's availability.
All right. All right, your next pick, Mike.
I'm going to go with Utah Jazz losses.
Okay.
I feel like Utah is going to finish probably somewhere in the vicinity of where they did last year. That'll get me 45 losses, which I feel pretty good that's a pretty solid number at this point in the draft. I'm about halfway in, so
I'm going to go. I'm not going to overreact to the first game against the defending champs. I'm going to go with the Lakers wins.
Lakers wins. All right. So that would put, based on what we have so far, I don't have any West. So I guess I have the Warriors wins. So that means we would have Nuggets, Warriors, Phoenix, and then the Lakers finishing fourth in the West. That seems pretty reasonable to me. I'm going to go with Knicks wins. New York Knicks wins.
Okay.
I think this team is a solid team. I think they're going to win some regular season games. Tibbs is obviously going to try to win every single game and grind it out. Brunson doesn't strike me as a guy who's likely to get hurt. I just think that that team, they're going to win somewhere between 43 and 47 games, depending on how things go. So I think there's a not necessarily a high ceiling, but I think there's a low floor for the Knicks. So I'm going to take those Knicks wins at this point.
All right. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with the Timberwolves wins, Mike.
All right. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Timberwolves wins.
All right. I'm going to go with Pelicans wins, baby.
Well, those are the two I was between, so.
Yeah, Pelicans wins. I think this team could easily win 50 if Zion's healthy, and they could easily win 36 if he's not. So there's a big gap. Just like with San Antonio, there's a huge gap in the Pelicans' potential wins and losses. So I'm going to take the Pelicans here, take a flyer, and hope that Zion stays healthy. Hope against hope.
All right, so I'm just writing these down now so that I can try to keep track of this better. So right now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, for the Eastern Conference, the teams that are left are Atlanta, Chicago, Brooklyn, Indiana, Orlando, Philly, and Toronto.
That's correct.
Okay, for the Western Conference, we still have Dallas, we have the Clippers, we have the Grizz, we have the Thunder, and we have the Kings.
That's right.
It. Yep. It's left in the that's West.
It.
Okay.
Yep. That's it.
All right.
That's
I'm going to go with the Magic losses.
Magic losses. All right. I'm going to go OKC wins.
Okay. I think this team has to be over 500, even with the cancer tumor that they have on their bodies still. I think they have to go over 500. I don't know how much over 500. What was Philly's over under again, Mike? Can you tell me?
Please? Philly's over under was, yes, I have it. Philly's over under was.
It was like 48 and a half. Was that right?
Where did it go? Why is it on the back? 49 and a half. We both had under.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like they have to be over 41 wins.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the Philadelphia 76ers over.
Okay, so you're going with Philly wins.
Yes, Philly wins. Sorry. Yes, Philly wins. Sorry.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go Memphis wins.
Okay.
Number two in the West the last 2 years. Steven Adams out for the season with a knee injury. Ja missing the first 25 games. No Brandon Clark. Do they have Bain and Jaren Jackson? Is that enough? I don't know. I think they're going to finish right around 500.
Do we both take the under on that team? I feel like we both took the under.
I'm pretty sure we did. I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, 45 and a half. Yeah, so we both had the under on Memphis.
Okay. I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets losses.
Yeah, I like it. I like that choice. That's a good choice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's losses. All right. I'm going to go with give me the Sacramento Kings wins.
Okay. I was way down on this team. And I'm happy that they're still around. The Toronto Raptors, I'm taking the losses on them. I don't feel the juice. Raptors the Canadian losses. Juice is not feeling good.
All right. Raptors losses. I'm going to take the Atlanta Hawks wins.
That was the team I put a star next to and said, I'm not picking that team no matter what. I was going to, that was going to be the last Hawks? Pick. That was the team that I just.
Hawks 42 and 40.
That's a team I feel the least good about in any way, shape, or form. They could do really, really well, or they could be terrible. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I got you. All right. I got you.
I took their over and you laughed in my face. And I've heard a lot of national pundits, including Bill Simmons, say a hard under for this team. I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks and their wins. I'm doing it.
Dallas wins. All right.
They might be 42 and 40. They might be 41 and 41. I don't know.
They could be. They could be. All right. I'm going to take, ooh, man.
There's one out of the three, Mike, that I feel like I have a good grasp of.
You feel pretty strongly on.
Yeah.
Well, man. I gotta take the Clippers wins.
Yeah, that's the one I felt good about.
I don't necessarily feel great about it, but even if those guys play half the season, you got to think they're going to at least win more than half their games.
All right, I'm going to take Chicago and the losses, Mike. And I'm going to let you figure out what you think Indiana is going to do.
I think you got to take – I'm going to take the Pacers' losses.
Yeah. Would have you taken Chicago's losses if I would have taken the Pacers' losses?
Yes. Yeah. I think both of those teams I think are 40 and 42, 39 and 43, somewhere in there. I think the Bulls have more of a potential to go south. Whereas I think Indiana has the potential to maybe go above 500, depending on how things go with some of the teams above them in the standings. But all right, I feel pretty good about my picks. That was relatively fast and relatively fun.
Yeah, it was fast. We'll see. We'll see if we remember. We'll have to remember to do a check every month or so.
We'll try to update it. Maybe I'll even make a Hoopheads Pod spreadsheet. How about that?
A Google sheet?
No.
Don't use Excel. No, get out of here. Excel's so outdated.
Google Sheets. What are you talking about? No, oh my can't God. Do it.
Mike. Just take a picture. Just give me the. All right, well, you give can me the do picture.
It.
Of,
you, all right, I'll take you. I'll take I'll a picture. A you can, all right, good. You make the Google sheet. You're hired. Yeah. I'll take a picture of it after the pod and send it to you. We're good. We're good.
Yeah. Because I can summon and all that stuff. Yeah.
Nice. I like it. All right. So I think that'll be fun. And plus, one of us will be looking forward to a delicious free pizza meal. So
there you go.
Whoever that may be.
All right. Okay. So then we're going to let's just dive into awards predictions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that briefly. It should take 10 minutes or so. I don't think there's a whole lot of discussion to be had, but let's just kind of throw our thoughts out there.
And we did not talk before the podcast about which awards we're doing, but I'm vetoing any chance that we're talking about clutch because no one knows how the heck that award even works. I've listened to four different NBA podcasts this week and none of them understand how that award even works. So
I don't think it's that people don't necessarily know how it works. I just think that it's more random than just about anything else. Cause one, your team has to be in close games in the last 5 minutes. And I think the variance on how a player performs in those last couple minutes is
there's lots of variables
from year to year. Yes, there's lots of variables.
Okay, so let's start with MVP. Let's just start with MVP. I don't see Embiid getting it again. Okay, he got it his one time. Done. I think
never
it comes
again.
Down to
never again. Joel Embiid.
No, he's not gonna.
No, he's done. He's a one-time MVP. Never happen again. It is not, his time is over.
Okay. So I have it down between two people. But I think with the acquisition of a certain someone, this person's pick and roll situation is just going to be too dominant. And I think I think that the MVP this year is going back to Giannis, Mike. I think it's going back to Giannis.
All right. So I think that you're right. I would probably include, even though I don't necessarily feel like Tatum is a guy that can win
get
it.
Out of here.
I don't think he's going to be on the statistical level.
If they win 70 games, Mike, then talk.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just don't think statistically he's going to have the profile that Jokic and Giannis are going to have. So to me, it has to come down to one of those two guys. I think there's two narratives here, right? Because you always hear about what are the stories behind the MVP race. So Giannis's story is the guy was going to leave Milwaukee. He put pressure on him. They bring Dame in. He signs the 3-year extension, which good for Milwaukee, man. I'm happy for the Bucks. I'm happy for Giannis. I'm glad that he's staying in Milwaukee. I'm glad we don't have to deal with the whole nonsense of him being a free agent next summer and figuring out where he's going to go. I'm happy that he's going to be in Milwaukee for the foreseeable future. So kudos to the Bucks and kudos to Giannis. But Giannis' story is hasn't won one in a few years. You bring in Dame. I think, as you said, their pick and roll is going to be basically unguardable. I think it's going to depend upon the health of Chris Middleton and how much production you get out of Brooke Lopez. I don't think there's any doubt that Giannis and Dame are going to be super unbelievably productive together. And so I think Giannis puts up big numbers. And then I think the storyline with Jokic is he probably should have won it last year. Embiid got sort of the pity vote because it was his time. He had been in the top three for the past couple of years and never been able to break through. And then Jokic just dominates the postseason and I think cements himself probably in most people's minds as the best player in the game, taking that mantle away from Giannis temporarily. So I think it comes down to those two. I don't know which storyline is more compelling. It may come down to which team wins more regular season games and which guy just plays more games. It seems like Giannis has had more of a tendency to get nicked up over the last couple of years and miss five games here or six games there, which sort of favors Jokic. We know that the advanced metrics are going to favor Jokic, but I feel like with Dame and with sort of the comeback from last year's setback in the playoffs where he got hurt and they get bounced by the Heat, I think it's Giannis in a really narrow vote. So I'm going to agree with you. I think Giannis wins it this year.
All right. Well, that's a boring first one. We both picked the same player.
Well, I mean, I think there's really only two candidates for real. I mean,
defensive player of the year, Mike.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
That's who you're going with?
Repeat. No, absolutely not.
Evan Mobley. Done. I'm picking him. I'm doing it. I'm planting my flag. Evan Mobley. You're okay. Going to pick Wemby, aren't you? You're going to pick Wemby, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, it's Wemby. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, if that dude plays, he's a defense into himself. I mean, he's going to block 4 or 5 shots a game, which.
So he has to play 65 games then for this award, right?
Look, I think if he's healthy, I think he's probably going to play 65 games. Now, can he stay healthy? Who knows? But if he does, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to do things defensively that people have not seen before. And he's going to have a highlight play or two or three or four on the defensive end of the floor every single night. And that's going to be something that is going to be in voters' minds. And I do think that it's just when you watch the guy and you see the highlights, it's just something that people are going to be talking about all the time. People are just going to be talking about him all season. And I don't think they're going to be talking about that great Evan Mobley defensive stand. I think they are going to be talking about how did Wemby block this dude from 8 feet behind him? Or how did he go out and start in the paint and block some dude's three-pointer? And I think that stuff is going to matter. And I think if he plays enough games to be eligible for these awards, the Spurs are going to have a huge jump in their win total. And so I think that's the case for
Wemby. I mean, he's definitely the rookie of the year. He's definitely the rookie for Wemby. Do we agree that he's rookie of the year, right?
Yeah, if he's healthy, I think he's the rookie of the year. Although I do think that Chet's going to have a really good rookie year again if he's healthy. And I think Scoot's going to put up good counting numbers. I would bet Scoot averages close to 20 a game and probably 6 or 7 assists. in his rookie year. Just because, again, they're just going to give him the ball and they don't really care about the results in terms of wins and losses. They just want to get this guy lots of experience having the ball in his hands. And so I think those three guys are going to all put up good numbers. I just think Wemby's highlight reel is going to just push him over the top. I don't see how he doesn't win the rookie of the year. And if he plays enough games to win defensive player of the year, 65 games, the Spurs are going to take a huge jump. And he's just, I think he's the defensive player of the year, which is scary. If he wins it when he's 19, what he's going to do as this guy continues to develop. I mean, it's insane what he could be, what we've seen so far is just, I mean, it's unbelievably tantalizing. You look at it and it just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense when you see a guy that big doing the things that he does. It just is crazy.
All right. Coach of the year. You go first, Mike. Go ahead.
Mark Daigneault, Oklahoma City.
Oh, dang it.
Is that that's who you had?
Nice. I couldn't remember his name. I had to Google it.
Look, I thought for sure
there was no way he was going to pick that guy.
See, I think there's a good chance that they end up having a lot of success and overperforming where they were last year, and I think even overperforming what their expectations were. So I think that sets up for he's a guy that could certainly be impressive. I think the other two candidates to me, I think Quinn Snyder has a chance to make an impact in Atlanta if he can somehow get through to Trae Young, which I don't know what that exactly means, but it feels like Quinn Snyder is a guy that can bring in and help Atlanta to at least potentially get to where they're in the top six in the East. I think if Quinn Snyder, his reputation as a coach leads me to believe that that's something that could potentially happen. And then I think the other guy that it depends on how Utah performs, and I think Will Hardy has such a good reputation around the league that if Utah overperforms again 2 years in a row, and let's say they creep into the 7 or 8 spot, which I'm not saying is likely, but certainly it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. I could see him getting some love for Coach of the Year.
Okay. All right. Any other, I mean, Sixth Man of the Year is a joke. I can't predict who's going to be the Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, can you? Like, I don't.
Depends on, first of all, we don't know for sure who's coming off the bench. I mean, I think in Boston, let's say if Derek White or Jrue Holiday comes off the bench and either one of them is coming off the bench enough to be eligible for that award, I think there's a good chance that one of those two guys could potentially be the Sixth Man of the Year. Norman Powell is a guy with the Clippers that probably isn't going to start, that's going to probably average 17 or 18 points a game. And typically voters in this category tend to like guys.
What about our new guy?
Bang, bang, George Niang.
George Niang, could he be in the Sixth Man of the Year? He stands in the corner and hits a bunch of threes?
Maybe. I don't know. What about Okoro not getting an extension? You okay with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
If they would have made an extension,
It depends on the number.
Yeah, if they would have made an extension, would I have been upset? Probably not. But I'm not also upset that they didn't make an extension. Play it out and see what it looks like.
Right, which is probably why they offered him probably. There was a lot of talk about guys getting kind of that mid-level exception, and would they take it or would they bet on themselves? So we don't know what the Cavs offered or if they offered anything and what Okoro turned down or didn't turn down. But I'm okay letting it play out. And theoretically, Isaac Okoro can still be an important part of what this team's trying to do. But unless he improves a little bit offensively, I think you can find what he does defensively in a guy that has a little bit more. Yeah, and a guy that has a little bit more offense. So yeah. I'm not crushed they didn't do it. If they sign him at some point to a reasonable contract, I won't be disappointed. I like the guy. I think what he does defensively and how hard he plays, I think he's got a good attitude and he's a good teammate and he's somebody they like having around. But offensively, we saw it in that Knicks series. He has to be more impactful on offense, or I just don't know how much you can play him in high leverage moments. And this team eventually has got to get to the point where they're looking at how do we perform better in the playoffs, because regular season, big deal. You got to prove it this coming spring when you get to the playoffs. They got to get to the second round at least. And there's a good chance I think they finish third in the Eastern Conference. And at that point, I guess if you get to the second round and you get beat by Milwaukee or Boston and you give them a tough series, you could look at that as being a positive, depending on where Mobley's development. It still comes down to, we've been saying it since Mobley was drafted, that until Mobley's your best player, I think you're not your ceiling is not the NBA championship if Mobley's not your best player. That's how I feel. So
okay. All right. So I guess, do we want to pick at this point? I don't really think there's any other awards to pick, right? So you want to pick champion, like do Eastern and Western Conference and then pick a champion, because this is the time to do it, right?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it. Eastern Conference. This is not a regular season award, Mike. This is a championship. I'm taking the Bucks. I think it's Bucks for the Eastern Conference. And I'm sticking with the Nuggets from the Western Conference. So I'm going to go Bucks, Nuggets.
All right. Who's your Eastern Conference Finals? Who are the Bucks beating in the Eastern Conference Finals? Boston? Cavs?
Cleveland Cavaliers.
All right. I think they're going to beat Boston. I think Boston and Milwaukee get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to pick the Bucks as well. And then in the West, I think it's the Nuggets. And then I think it's honestly going to be – I don't think it's going to be Phoenix. I don't think it's going to be the Lakers. I think it's going to be one of those surprise teams. I really do. Pelicans. I think somebody is going to break through that you don't expect, is going to be one of those teams, either because guys are hurt or injured, or those teams stay healthy throughout the year and they just continue to grow and get better. So I think Denver beats an upstart in the Western Conference Finals. I'm going to say, let's go with the Pelicans. Why not? Let's go with the Pelicans.
All right. So
Nuggets over the Pelicans.
I'm saying a repeat of the game tonight.
Nuggets Lakers. That's fair.
I think it's Nuggets Lakers. There's lots of things have to go there. They got to stay healthy, but
all right. Who's your NBA champion? More fun.
I'm taking the the Milwaukee Bucks as the NBA champion. They're going to beat the Nuggets.
I'm taking the Nuggets.
There you go.
So, hey, look, if it was a Nuggets Bucks series, that would be a great series. That would be a lot of fun. Two teams that I like watching. I'd have a hard time figuring out who I was rooting for in that series, but I know one thing: it would be a lot of fun to see those two teams go at it, especially if they're both at full strength come next June. That would be a lot of fun. So. Yeah.
All right, one last thing, Mike. Are you gonna jump on my bandwagon?
Bandwagon is that?
The Cavaliers winning the in-season tournament.
Sure, I'll jump on it.
Jump on the bandwagon.
I got nothing. Sure, I'm on. I have nothing. Your guess is as good as mine, man. I'm willing to defer to your expertise on this one. So
I just feel like if they don't escape their group, I'm not feeling good about their season. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay, like, there you go. Who's in their group? I don't even know who's in their group.
Well, Philly's the theoretically good team in their, like, the best team in their group based on, because they base it on previous seasons. Hold on, I did look at this earlier tonight, but I've forgotten. In group schedule. Oh, get out of here! Oh my god. The Pistons, the Pacers, the Hawks, and the Sixers.
All right.
Are in our group. And
season chance.
To be honest with you, when I look at it, like, we have the Pacers first, and then the Detroit, and then Philly and Atlanta. So the first two, we win those two, and then we play at Philly before Thanksgiving. We know James won't be there. He'll be getting ready for his Thanksgiving feast. And then we play the Hawks after Thanksgiving.
He'll be in L.A. Him and Russell will be ready to reunite. They'll be kicking butt, man. Harden will be in fantastic shape. He'll be pouring in 34 a game, just waiting for the playoffs so he can come and, you know, fall completely apart. So,
yeah. All right.
Anything else? We don't need to talk any Browns, do we?
Listen. The Browns. I want to say, so I started my school day on Monday with my students saying, guys, I'm in a very unprecedented situation right now. It's two straight weeks that the Browns have clutched, stolen victory out of the jaws of defeat. For years and years, children, you are 9 and 10 years old, they have been the opposite way. I don't even know how to feel right now. That's what I told the kids. And like one kid was like, I'm a Steelers fan. I don't care. Blah. I'm like, you're only a Steelers fan because the Browns have been so bad and your parents have converted or something.
That's so terrible. Like, somebody's a Steelers fan in Cleveland. Come on. Come on.
I know. Anyways, listen, the Browns have continued to win. They're 4-2, which is ridiculous. They're third in their division at 4-2, by the way, because they've lost to both the teams ahead of them. Deshaun Watson, did you see the Schefter tweet earlier today? Did I send it to you?
No, I don't. Well, maybe you did, but I didn't see it if you did. So,
Schefter tweeted that some clarity on Deshaun Watson's injury. Doctors told him that he has a strain of the subscapularis within the rotator cuff, and he continues to have both pain and weakness with movement. This type of injury in baseball normally causes pitchers to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And they started this guy. What the heck? Come on. Watson continues to work to regain strength and velocity of his shoulder and shorten that window. Here's what I'm going to say, Mike. I give Kevin Stefanski so much credit because I'm sure Watson wanted to go back in that game and Stefanski said no. But him to Stefanski to come at the press conference and say, we're always going to put players' health at the forefront. And he trotted Baker out for all those games with his serious injury. You cannot tell me that. Come on. You cannot tell me that. I don't believe you. This is a $230 million investment. I understand that. But how long are we just going to kick the can? Like, I'm telling you right now, like, we're winning despite the fact that our quarterbacks, I saw a stat, our QBR for our quarterback are ranked 29th, 30th, and 41st. These are the three quarterbacks.
PJ York? You don't like
PJ
York?
Dustin Hopkins. Did Dustin Hopkins win special teams player of the year again,
Dustin York probably deserved it, man. That guy's awesome.
Listen.
I have complete confidence.
And Myles Garrett is disaster. He basically won that game. I mean, he won that game for us the other day. Him and Dustin York.
Dustin York and the defense decided to take a lot of plays off. They still made a lot of good plays. I mean, they made a lot of tackles for losses and obviously had some turnovers, but they were asleep at the switch a bunch. And this is the first game where I didn't feel very confident every time they were out on the field. But yeah, I think you said it best that those were two completely, if you're the other two teams, those are complete Brownsy losses, the way that those two teams lost to us in the last 2 weeks. And for the fact that the Browns came out on top of both of those games bodes well for the rest of their season. I mean, we just honestly, this team just needs to get average quarterback play. And if they get average quarterback play, they're going to be difficult to beat. Cause I still think that despite the fact that the defense contributed to giving up 38 points, I feel like that was more of an aberration than a reality. And I think the defense is going to continue to be good. I don't know if they're good enough to carry below average quarterback play, but I think they're good enough to carry mediocre quarterback play, quarterbacks that don't turn the ball over and make stupid plays.
Here's my question to you.
Okay.
If you could trade some picks to get Jacoby Brissett back on this team, you do it, right?
No.
You think what we have is – you think what we have
– I'm okay with P.J. York. I'm okay with P.J. York. He's all right. He's fine. He's fine. He's going to get better every week. He's not terrible. I mean, he's not good, but he's not terrible. I mean, it's not like Brissett was awesome. I mean, Brissett was fine. I think this dude can be fine.
Okay. I disagree, but that's okay.
There's tons of bad – how many good quarterbacks are there in the league that actually can win you games? There's not many. There ain't many.
Patty Mahomes.
Okay.
Lamar. Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
Tua.
Are you sure?
Tua?
Tua
can win them games.
System.
Hey, what about Tom Brady? Would you welcome him out of retirement to come play for the Browns?
Okay, so you named three guys, and then you're talking about a 47-year-old guy who's retired.
He's
so
45,
I think my point is well made, that there's really a lot of mediocre quarterbacks in the league. There's very few guys who You can just line him up behind Justin center Herbert. And say this guy's going to win this game.
Justin Herbert.
The Chargers are below 500 in his career.
Well, that's because his defense is terrible, and the coach, head coach is a defensive coach, and his team's terrible. That guy should have been fired four times over by now.
Listen, I agree. I'm not disagreeing that Brandon Staley should be out of a job. I'm just saying that.
Look at Herbert, you know the head coach of the Chargers. This is an enlightening experience.
I know some football. Don't be asking me about baseball, guys. But
what about C.J. Stroud? I'm on the C.J. Stroud train.
I would take Stroud on this team. Can you name one guy on the Diamondbacks?
Goldschmidt, is he still on the Diamondbacks? He got traded, right? He's not on the
– Who?
Paul Goldschmidt? Goldschmidt. I don't think he's on the Diamondbacks. Luis Gonzalez? Luis Gonzalez.
Not Luis, man. He's not from France.
Clark?
He's Lewis Hispanic, Clark. Dude. Come on, man. Come on. What are you doing over there? I couldn't name one guy in the Diamondbacks. I couldn't name one guy in the Diamondbacks. I had nothing. I flipped it on. I'm like, I don't know one guy in the Diamondbacks. Now I know one guy. So his first name starts with a K. And his last name's Marte. I thought maybe it was Andy Marte. When did Andy Marte play for the Indians?
He died, yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
I seriously thought it might be him when I turned it on. I saw it was Marte was up. I thought maybe it was him.
Hold on. He died.
I guess since he's dead, it wasn't him.
Yeah, Andy Marte. He died in a car accident in January 22nd. 2017. He was 22 anyway. Years old.
Well, that stinks. Sorry to hear that.
Oh wait, no.
I couldn't name anybody. I couldn't name anybody on the Diamondbacks.
What about the Texas Rangers? Can you name anyone on the Texas Rangers?
Juan Gonzalez. Pudge Rodriguez.
Well, there's Garcia, the guy who got cut. Is good. I'm trying to think. Oh, wait, don't they have Scherzer? They have Scherzer, right? They have Scherzer. They traded for Scherzer.
Okay. Is Larry Boa managing the Phillies? The guy who's managing the Phillies, they cut to him in the dugout, and I seriously thought it was Larry Boa. I don't think it is. I think because then they said it was some other guy, but he looked exactly like Larry Boa.
Phillies manager? Hold on, I don't even know who it is.
Lenny Dykstra?
Not Charlie Manuel. Rob Thompson.
There you go. Rob Thompson.
Do you know who is the Diamondbacks manager?
Who's the Diamondbacks manager? Dusty Baker.
Your dog's chiming in.
Yep. Tommy Lasorda. Earl Weaver.
Torey Luvullo.
Okay. All right. This needs to end. All right.
Texas Rangers manager. Yo, You might know this one. Okay. He was the manager for the San Francisco Giants when they won the World Series.
Dusty Baker. No, Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy is the manager for the Rangers? Really? Wow, look at that. All right, let's end on a high note, man. So we got some NBA, some NFL, and some Major League Baseball talk. If you're looking for some serious insight into Major League Baseball.
Vegetarian talk as well, Mike.
And some vegetarian talk. Hey, you got any takes on the MLS, the upcoming MLS season?
No.
Ronaldo? Ronaldo? He's not. Is Beckham still playing the league? How old's Beckham
Messi's in Miami, though.
Messi, I thought he played for the Oilers. Didn't he play with Gretzky? He's still around playing?
No. Lionel Messi.
Switched to soccer? Who?
All right, Mike.
Come on. Pele died this year, right?
Pele died. He just died. Yes, he just died.
Yeah, he's the best soccer player of all time. There's no doubt, man. If you need some soccer analysis, that's my soccer analysis. When I was a kid, everything was Pele. No,
soccer analysis is he hates soccer because it brought water bottles to the world of basketball. Yeah,
soccer brought water bottles to the world of basketball camp. Get your get your water bottles out, man. Get them out. Not a fan. Pele. Anybody who kicks a ball, man, I just called him Pele when I was a kid. Come on, Pele. Pick the ball up with your hands, man. Play a real game. All right, let's leave it there. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Hoopettes podcast.
I have to edit
hopefully
that out.
any people who are soccer aficionados, we apologize for insulting your favorite sport. But nonetheless, thanks for checking out this NBA episode of the Hoopettes pod, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.